Today we're going to be talking about the Valley of Decision. That's where we are in America as Christians today. The election's coming up shortly. We have decisions to make. And what should our decisions be? Does the Bible tell us how to vote? Does the Bible lead us or give us any guidance? Is God even interested in government? Well, let's first of all talk about where we are. First, we're in the last days right now. And this time, as we're watching things unfold in America, is really perplexing. And Joel 3 and verse 11 says, "Hasten and come, all you surrounding nations, and gather yourself there. Bring down your warriors, O Lord. Let the nations stir themselves up. Come to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit and judge the surrounding nations. Put a sickle in, for the harvest is ripe. Go in, tread the winepress, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their evil is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their light, shining. The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth quake. But the Lord is a refuge to his people, a stronghold to the people of Israel." You know, recently, as we look at this scripture, first of all, I'm glad that Jerusalem is once again, as it should be, the capital of Israel. A lot of presidents promised that, but only one president delivered on that. And I thank God for that. Now, I have been with my wife in a moving recently. And what I want to tell you, that is a stressful situation. It seems like it's never ending. And the only thing that has come about that's been interesting is I found that one amongst the things we have, this little book called Valley of Decision. It's the war on God and family and country. Who's waging it? Why? And what can you do about it? It's written by Dr. Sterling Lacey, an educator, a minister, a scholar, and a concerned American. And he wrote it in 1988. I'd like to read from the foreword in this. It's a brief foreword, but it's worth reading. And by the way, it's by former Congressman Jim Jeffries. And he writes, "Valley of Decision will take the reader on a fast-paced trip from the thoughts of our founding fathers to the thoughts of today's leaders. The ideas being projected today towards our youth, our families, and our country would literally have Washington, Franklin, Jefferson, Madison, and the others spinning in their graves. Dr. Lacey documents the Christian moorings of our nation and calls all men of goodwill to help restore them. He mentions some of the unmentionables, like the Council of Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. It records their beginnings, their power over modern America, and what they're really up to. This in itself should cause you to stop, think, and act. If you truly value freedom, if America means to you what it does to me, The Valley of Decision is a book for you." Well, it's out of print by now. But the interesting thing is, the worst that he thought is coming to pass right before your very eyes and my eyes. There's no getting away from it. I'm sure that you heard the saying, politics and religion don't mix, or separation of church and state. I don't know where the first quote came from. Everybody uses it. But the second is not found in the Constitution, and it's taken out of the context of a letter Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Baptist Church in Connecticut that was concerned that the Congregational Church would receive preference over the Baptist. Jefferson was making the point that no one denomination would have preference over another. We would not see a state church like the European nations had, Catholic Spain, Anglican England, Lutheran Germany, none of these things would happen. We would be a nation that all faiths, when I say all faiths, all Christian faiths at that time, of course, would be equal. They would have freedom. And one of the first things in the First Amendment is the freedom of religion, the freedom to practice your religion as you see fit. Now, Dr. Lacey is going about this concerned with America and writing some articles when he's in Topeka, Kansas in June of 1978. And so his phone rings. Hello, Dr. Lacey. This is Alan Speck with ABC News in Washington. I understand you're getting ready to mass distribute another letter exposing the politicians' vote on moral issues, because moral issues were starting to come up then. Well, we're preparing a documentary on the Christian right, and we'd like to come to Topeka to film your whole process and interview you. Well, that was the first that Dr. Lacey had heard about a Christian right. And by the way, at that particular point, I was just beginning to have an interest in politics, mostly in the school system because of some issues I was having with my oldest daughter and some changes that I was witnessing in her as she was attending public school. And they weren't good changes. They weren't healthy. So I began to look into what was going on, what she was reading, what they were studying. And one of the things I found was that, hey, she was they were undermining parental authority very subtly, but they always had some sort of stories where it was the father says this, but the teacher says something else. And of course, the teacher knows better than the father. So there was a transference here of authority from parent to teacher. Very subtle, but it was taking its effect. Now that's an interesting thing. So I began to think about it. We decided for a couple of reasons that we would homeschool, became some of the first homeschoolers in the state of New Hampshire. The next thing you know, we wound up with legal issues in court, fighting a battle. We were called, they're calling my daughter truant, etc. We eventually won that battle, and my daughter was the first homeschooler that was accepted at Gordon College, which is kind of like the, at least it had a standing at that particular point in time, of the Christian Harvard of the East. Nevertheless, the point I make is that now I'm reading. Now I'm learning about my country for the first time. Yes, I went to school, got through high school in college, but my point is we're not studying anything really about the nation. It's just some references there to some people with some dates. That's what history was all about. But we don't know anything about the persons, their backgrounds, their philosophies, their faith. Faith is never spoken of. And if they did have faith, how did it impact their belief? Well, so what's happened now is where the schools are changing, they're becoming more and more secular, and they have a plan. Don't think that they don't. They have a plan. And the point I make is that if you go back, you find that after the Scopes trial in 1925, the church abandoned, you might say, the public square. It left politics. It considered it dirty. And it did not look to politics as something that it should be involved with. As a matter of fact, politics it really is the science of or art of civil government. It was deemed unclean. We don't want any part of it now. We've lost that. We're going to move on. But God established civil authority for the benefit of the people, that they might live in peace and tranquility and have the ability to prosper, to earn, to build their families, to love, live, and enjoy the life that God had given them. People, God founded the nations. He did it in a very unique way, by the way. We read in Genesis 11, there we find the Tower of Babel, the people coming together. They're going to build this big tower to get up to God or be like God. And finally, God looks down. He says, we're just going to confuse them. They can do anything they want with one language. And so he confuses them. That's why they call it Babel. And he scatters them abroad over the face of the earth. And there you have the nations now being formed. And in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul, speaking to a group of Greek intellectuals in Athens, we read that he was stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I observe that you're very religious with all respect. For while I was passing through and examining objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you." Let me tell you who this unknown God is what he's saying. "The God who made the world and all things in it, since he's the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life, breath, and all things. And I love this. And he made from one man he made every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times, the boundaries of their habitation. Think about it. Every nation that comes and rises, God has set it in motion. I want you to know this is particularly true of the United States of America. And we'll get to that. In Romans 13, we find that every person, talking about government, the role of government, God established government. So every person is to be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For the rulers are not a cause for fear, for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you'll have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God for your good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. So then he goes on to say that it's necessary to, you know, be in subjection to it, to pay the taxes that are due, to honor the people that need to be honored, to be respectful and to custom, etc. But also remember that this is the United States of America, and there are some things that are very different here and that fall into a situation where we have a whole different view of what government is. I've heard Christians say, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things of God. And they wash their hands. They don't get up. They don't vote. They don't watch what's happening in the country while the country and the nation is falling apart. This woke generation, this is the result of secular humanism, of progressivism. It's an evil that burns through our nation. And these young people, they have no heritage. They have no foundation. They think they're, you know, finding something new. They've been brainwashed by their socialist, communist professors and have ideals that they think are great, but in reality have never worked any place in the world, have always led to bondage and death. But that's what they have. They're a lost generation. Now, the United States was founded as a republic. I hear these people leaving Canada's running for government, this democracy. No, we're not a democracy. Our founders ruled out democracy. They studied every form of government. There were at least seven forms of government that had existed at that time. And to my knowledge, not a new one, except for the United States of America, exists today. And Rome was a republic, but we had a republic with a different twist on it. So let's talk about what we found in our republic. We, the people, are responsible to elect people from among the people to represent us, to serve us. In essence, we are Caesar. And every so many years, we get the opportunity to vote for them or against them, to replace them, to get people that would be more of our thinking, our liking, that would bring to us, and what shall I say, protect for us, those liberties which we have and benefits which we have, given to us by God. So, to many of what we call elites, actually they're really pseudo-quasi-elites. Bill Gates may have a lot more money than you, and he might have more power, but he's not any better than you. And a lot of these people who are in these high places, they're not any smarter than you. They think they are, and that's the issue. They want to decide how you're going to live and what you're going to do and what you're going to eat, where you're going to go, when you're going to go there, what vaccine you're going to take. This is all part of this master plan that is being developed out there. But let's talk about us for a moment. And what did our founding fathers have to say about God's involvement in our government? Well, we'll look at that, and I think we're going to find that very interesting. During one session of Constitutional Congress, which was the delegates were hopelessly bogged down in dissension, aging Benjamin Franklin rose and said, "I have lived, sir, a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. If a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, speaking of Jesus Christ as God, he's referring to him, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that's the Bible, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberation be held in this assembly every morning. Not only was that done, but every assembly of our Congress in the entire history of our government has been open with prayer to God for his grace. Now, some things have changed with some people and some parties. God's been removed from them. And others, although it may be in their platform, they're not necessarily godly people. But the signers of the Declaration of Independence, let me tell you about these guys. They're very interesting guys. They sealed their fates with their signatures. They knew, the British knew who to come after on that great document. When they signed that document, they were exposed. They sealed the Declaration itself with an acknowledgement that they were dependent upon God for the success of the great venture. They stated, for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. As Patrick Henry and George Washington, what did they have to say? Well, here's a sample of what they had to say about God and or the Bible. The Bible is worth all the books which have been written. That's Patrick Henry. And it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible, George Washington. These are quotes directly from them. In less than 100 days from when you're hearing this message, if you hear it today, maybe even shorter than that, there'll be an election. Most Americans think the election is between the Democrat and Republicans, and that's how they'll vote. This is only partially true. This election could usher in the end of the Republic, literally the end of our Republic. As Dr. Lacey noted back in 1988, the forces pushing the USA were not just political, but satanic. You're looking at evil pushing some of this here. As I have mentioned on several occasions, in my response, I was on a trip with a group of pastors, with Governor Mike Huckabee, and he had asked me a question of what I got out of our visit to Auschwitz. And I said to him, I told him what it was. And then I said to him, but let me tell you what I got out of this trip. I've watched what Islam has done. 200 million people slaughtered around the world. And more since then, as a matter of fact, under the Obama regime, you might call it. We saw what the Nazis did, fascists, what the communists did. We talked to people who were there with them, who suffered under them in Poland. And I said to him, and Governor, when I look back at the United States of America, what I see is progressivism, and they're doing the same thing. It's that same spirit of Antichrist that was in each of these other governments that now has risen up in the United States of America. And that's the truth. That's what you're seeing. The spirit of Antichrist, everything. Just look what happened in this pandemic. How churches were marginalized. Look at how, especially from the progressive end, look at what they did to try to shut them down, not let them even meet. Oh, they're going to save us from the pandemic. Meanwhile, people can meet in bars, but not in church. This is ridiculous. This is this. But I want you to think about this. I said it's not just Democrat or Republican. Certainly, in one group has the majority of progressives in it. In fact, you might say it's far left at this point in time. But if you understand the big picture, what we're looking at here is the formation and the moving very rapidly to a new world order. And you'll see that it didn't matter if you look close enough, whether Clinton ran against the Bush or Obama against the McCain or Romney, the end game remained the same. In other words, we were still moving towards this one world order, the end of the Republic. And a new world order. Well, I happen to like this republic. In fact, I love it. My brother died in the service of it. One of my uncles died in the service of it. My father served. We have a history in the military that goes back for two generations, three generations. And all I want to say is there's no nation better than this in the world. It's a nation that was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. But America right now, and if you think about this, the establishment under this new world order at the end of the Republic, it gets rich and fat. Business, big business gets bigger, and that's what you're watching, the forces moving in these major corporations. Look, they don't care about you and I and the people that live and want to work. They send out our goods to be made in China. This pandemic, who would ever think that most of the medicines that we have, which we think are being made by Pfizer and Merck and all of these companies here, are being made in China? That all these masks and everything else is made in China? I mean, our industry's going to China, our intellectual property's going to China. This is nuts. You have to take care of your own nation. You have to take care of your own people. Just as it says in the scripture, first of all, what do? You take care of the family of God. But it says first, provide for your own family, then help others. That's what you do. You work, you bless others, you bless yourself, your own family, you bless others. And that's what we do. And so we're a family in America. We're one people. We're a new race. All colors, all nationalities come together. And we melted. We called it a melting pot at one time. We come from Italy. We come from Poland. We come from England. We come from all of these places around the world, from Africa, from Asia. And when we get here, we become one people. We become Americans with the same rights, with the same abilities, and together we can do more than any other people have done on the face of the earth. It's really amazing. That's why I love it. But it's up for grabs. And only the American people, you, and with the grace of an intervention of God, can save this republic. And if we don't, the freedom that we once enjoyed and perhaps took for granted will be gone. We'll become slaves to the same people that we had initially elected, and then the deep state that developed through these agencies, which we have just seen, and now as it unravels, it's really unbelievable. We find the wealth that once belonged to hardworking Americans, that was going to China, it's going to go back there. If they can put another million in the bank, they don't care about you, or 10 million in the bank. It doesn't matter. They just want money, whether it's Wall Street or Greed Street, whatever it may be. We have 30 million people unemployed, and the Department of Commerce would like visas for 100,000 more workers, 70,000 of them from China, from the very people that have been stealing our intellectual property. Meanwhile, 30 million of us are out of work. Do you think we don't have the intellectual capability? We're the most creative nation in the world. They come here and they steal from us. This is not right, my friends. This is not how you take care of your nation. In the history of this nation, oh look, think about this. As we said, the COVID-19 pandemic, when that really exposed a lot of different things. And look at just recently, what do we have? 178 scientists working for the CDC were just let go because they were being paid. They were on the Chinese payroll, if you can believe that. So another thing I want to say to you, in the history of this nation, this is the first time a planned, concerted effort using the Department of Justice, the FBI, and special counsel was made by the previous administration to prevent the smooth transition of a duly elected president and his administration. We had Russia, Russia, Russia. And then we had Ukraine, Ukraine, Ukraine. And then it turns out that none of these things were true. And now, just this past week, the Russian who they were told life was at risk giving all this information turns out to be nothing but a swamp creature living in Washington, D.C., swimming along the slime in that swamp. That's all he is. The Washington swamp. One thing after another. And now we know that it goes to the very top of the previous administration. Those emails have come out. These things are now being exposed. What happened to General Flynn? McFarland and others threatened, persecuted, and were intimidated by these so-called justice attorneys or police, whatever you want to call them, FBI. If you don't give us what we want, we'll put your kid in jail or we'll do this. What they have done to some of these people is just not right. But if they did it to them, they can do it to you. And we can't have this in America. We need to get back to the Word of God. We need to get back to God. We need to be what we're supposed to be, a free people under God. That's how Jesus set us free. That's it. So in an effort to shut down the churches, we saw what happened in this pandemic. We made them, what, non-essential? That was just the beginning of what's to come. They even tried to stop them from meeting in homes in some places. Now churches in California, some of them meeting on the beach. People are getting out there, but the point is, we had to, even in the state of New Hampshire, in our church, it came Pentecost, and I said, that's it. We went along with them to flatten the curve, et cetera, et cetera. But then we saw that the bars were opening and we weren't. And that was it. I said, well, our elders got together. We're opening, and we did. And we've been working. No problems. No issues. We take care of our elderly. We watch what's going on. We can do that. We're intelligent human beings. We can do it. So I spent some time making the point from scriptures in our church family and on video, you can find it there, that you, who I'm speaking to right now, are essential. If you don't feel like you're essential, the first thing to feeling that way is know that you are, according to the Word of God. You're a member of Christ's body. You've been placed there just as the Lord knows how to place you, where to place you, and you have a purpose. You may not be the mouth in that body. You may not be the eye, but if you're a foot or a big toe, you are important. Know that for a fact. And you are essential. And one of the things that lets you know you're essential, one of the first things, if you're not sure about it, just show up. That's the first thing you can do. God who called you will qualify you for what he's called you to do. He's prepared works for you from before the foundation of the world. And he'll do that. And show up at the voting booth and vote for Christ. If you don't know what that means, it means this: faith, family, and freedom. It means life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If there's no life, there's no liberty, there's no pursuit of happiness. We need to be a people that honor life. All lives matter. It doesn't matter the color of our skin. That's the unique thing about America. Yes, there is some racism. Yes, there is some prejudice. And there's always some people that don't feel good about themselves unless they're putting other people down. And they need to shape that up. But meanwhile, don't let them get you down. You are essential and you are important and you are loved by God. He has a plan for your life. And while you're alive on this planet Earth, use your time wisely. It's the only time you will have this side of heaven or hell for your spiritual formation. So do the works God has prepared for you. Trust in him. Be positive. And know that we can still turn this nation around. And God is alive and well. And this nation has not yet been sorted out as a goat nation or a sheep nation. That's yet to come. Let's work together to make it a sheep nation, where the majority of people are found in Christ Jesus. May God bless you today, in Jesus' name. Amen.